Today I'm talking with Casey Bethel. He is the Georgia Teacher of the Year for 2017. You're going to love his passion. You're going to love his message. Just wait. Thanks for being here.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Today I'm talking with Mr. Casey M. Bethel. He is the Georgia Teacher of the Year for 2017. He teaches science at New Manchester High School in Douglasville, Georgia. He is a participant in the GIFT program, Georgia Intern Fellowships for Teachers, which is run out of the Georgia Institute of Technology's College of Sciences. They seek cures for diseases. He earned his bachelor's degree from Fort Valley State University, Georgia, and his master's degree in plant genetics from the University of Georgia. He teaches AP Physics, AP Biology, Biology, and Physical Science. Say hi to everyone, Casey.
Hi, everybody out there.
All right, so, you know, I got to say this because I know you've had a real entertaining route getting here today. So, so Atlanta traffic's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. I'm never really prepared for it when I experience it.
You just got to love 75. It's just, for those of you who've never been in Atlanta, just know they never seem to finish projects for the interstate. As soon as they finish them, they start a new one. And then it just seems like nobody knows how to drive, that as soon as there's a chance to have a wreck, they do it.
In some places, they've been working on the same part of road since I moved to Atlanta 12 years ago.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yes. Anyway, hey, let's start out by, let's just get to this. First of all, congratulations. You're the Georgia Teacher of the Year for 2017. Awesome job, man.
Oh, thank you for that. It's a really humbling experience to be chosen to represent the teachers in the state.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And I've heard you talk a little bit, and we're going to get into that just a little bit as well. But what a neat recognition for you, and I just kudos, man. Kudos.
Well, thank you. And before we move on, let me say thank you for allowing me to be on with you.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to have you.
I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for being here. So, Casey, let's start by asking you, what do you like about working with kids?
Oh, man, I think it's the most amazing job in the world. It's an awesome opportunity to influence the future. That's what I look forward to. I love the fact that kids are listening. And they're watching, even when you don't know they're listening and watching. And I love that they have ambition and thoughts and dreams. And I get a chance to be a part of molding those things and pushing them toward the futures that they want to achieve.
Oh, that's so cool. The thoughts and dreams, just that to me, that's something that you can't explain to people who don't work with kids, that, you know, they're from the outside looking in. One of the coolest things is that you're part of that building their future. And it's neat.
Absolutely. Every word you say and every action you perform that they notice and they record is going to influence the decisions they make and the futures that they reach. And I love that. I love that chance. I love waking up knowing that I'm going to my job and influencing the future.
That's so cool. The influencing the future part of it. I just, you know, I think about it, and a lot of the kids that I taught or worked with now are in their 30s and stuff like this. When you run into them, they remember you.
Awesome. Yeah,
they
do.
It's a cool thing. So.
Isn't it rewarding? It's really rewarding, isn't it?
It is. It very much so is. And it's you don't know how to explain it to people. It's just when, because, you know, it's funny. A lot of times they worry that you're going to remember them, but you're just, right. It's cool that they remember you.
Right.
So, and they don't say it like, you know, one of my favorite TV shows used to be Seinfeld, and there's a
character on there called Newman, and right. Jerry used to say Newman. You know, you don't want him remembering it like that. It's like Newman, exactly. Now, I understand that you didn't start out to be a teacher. Could you talk a little bit about where you were going and what changed your mind?
You know, I did. And back when I was in school, I was good at science. I was good at math. And I was told over and over that, you know, you should be a doctor. You should be a doctor. I always loved people and I wanted a chance to help people. And I accepted that and I pursued that for a while. When I enrolled in school, pre-medicine was my major. And I was doing great at it, you know, academically, but it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't something that brought me a lot of joy. So I switched and I thought I wanted to be a scientist. Let's try this out. I had a good internship experience at the University of Georgia one summer and I thought, oh, this is cool. Instead of being a doctor, I can be a scientist and still use my love and my passion for science. Did that with success, but it still never brought me any fulfillment. I don't remember being happy to go to work. And I tried out teaching as an experiment. Let's go teach for 1 year while I figure out what I'm really supposed to be doing. And it was the best thing for my whole life. I discovered what I should have been doing the whole time, and I've never felt so alive.
That's so cool. I got to ask this because there's always this aspect of science that I thought was cool. And I just want to know if anything, like with me, my interest in technology came from all the TV shows that I watched. I mean, I grew up in Florida where we had the Apollo launches and then the space shuttle launches. Yep. And then I also was a Star Trek fan and, you know, Battlestar Galactic and things like that. I mean, did you have any science thing that made you want to, I mean, were you like wanting to be the mad scientist?
And I loved Bill Nye. I was a Bill Nye fanatic. And we had another science program that came on Saturday mornings called 3-2-1 Contact.
Nice, yeah.
And man, I could not wait to watch the next show. And you know what? Another thing. Even back then, I'm sort of an 80s kid, and I remember it wasn't called NCIS or CSI back then, but they had these cop dramas, and the cops always relied on this forensic scientist for the information to crack the case. It was always some bullet study or some weird thing they had to figure out. And I was like, man, I can use science to solve problems and answer things that people can't answer. And that's what got me passionate about it. I love it.
Very cool. That's awesome. That's, you know, it's neat to see those types of things that inspire people to do this type of stuff. So just very cool. So let's talk a little bit about teaching, because I think we've kind of gotten into that kind of why the science area.
Yeah.
So when you're in a classroom, do you have like a hook or a favorite hook that you like to use to get kids interested in your lessons?
I think that my passion becomes their passion. Kids love how excited I am, man. If you ever visit my class, I'm bouncing off the wall. I'm standing on desks,
nice,
tossing things in the air. And when they see that I'm excited about the thing I'm trying to explain, they get excited. I think teacher passion is one of the real, real keys to student engagement. And then the other things I try to do are try to connect with their learning to something that they really care about. You know, it's easy to get football players to listen to physics if you talk about collisions. They don't care about Newton, but if you talk about collisions, they listen.
Right.
And another thing is, I mean, a lot of kids don't want to learn about cells, but they do care about cancer. So if you frame the lesson around things that they're truly interested in, student engagement comes easy. So that's my hook. I either connect it to something that's a hobby for them or something that they really want to know.
Awesome. I love that. That whole idea about just something that they know or something they want to know more about. Just,
yeah.
What a cool thing to try and connect that with kids. Let's keep going with the idea of a lesson. And so what advice would you give to a teacher who's struggling to create engaging lessons?
Get to know the kids in your class. See what their personal hobbies are and, you know, see the things that they're interested in. Those two things have made the difference in my career, and I've seen it make the difference in so many other teachers' careers. You need to know who are the anime kids in your class, who are the sports, the athletes. You need to know the cheerleaders. You need to know the kids who like to cook. You need to know the kids who like to watch TV, and then think about ways to connect your lesson to them individually.
That's awesome advice. From time to time, I work with teachers who struggle with classroom management. And one of the things that's a lot of times right there at the top is they struggle with connecting with kids. They may not know their names completely yet. They don't know anything about their backgrounds and stuff like this. And it shows the kids. I really think the kids look at them and go, well, if you don't know anything about me, then I'm not going to worry about you. So
And be willing to open up and let the kids know some things about you. The kids, they don't know how to show it, but they want to know, who's this guy that's the teacher? Who's this lady that's standing in the front? When you're transparent a little bit and you talk about your interests, then they'll open up and talk about their interests, and you make connections. And sometimes it takes sacrifices. You know, I'm not big into golf, but when a kid tells me that they have a golf match, I go for 10 minutes.
Nice.
And they remember, oh, Mr. Bethel, you came to my golf match yesterday. And I never have to struggle to get that kid to cooperate anymore, because he knows I care about him as a person.
That's so cool. That is, you know, that's it exactly. They see that you care about them as a person, and it's so important to try and make those gains and connections. So now you said something I got to find out about. So what's something that you share with the kids about you?
Oh, man, I love soccer. So I talk about that all the time. I love Seinfeld.
Nice.
I love Big Bang Theory. I watch a lot of TV. I love Family Guy. I'm ashamed to admit it, but the teenagers I teach in, you know, middle school and high school love Family Guy. So we talk about it, and we use that in our lesson as often as we can.
Excellent. I love that. Nice. You know, it's funny when kids look at you and they realize, maybe he doesn't lock himself up in the closet.
Yeah, because they don't expect that. They right. think teachers turn off in the corner when school is out, and then tomorrow morning you wake up from the corner and start teaching again like a robot. They don't expect that you have interests and you have likes. And sometimes the things you like are connected to the things they like.
Which is very funny, by the way. Yeah. That's one of those things where, you know, it's like my all-time favorite in Metro Atlanta, there is a park owned by Six Flags called Whitewater.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nothing like, you're like, all right, lovely. As we're coming down one of the slides, I look at my wife and I go, see the young man at the bottom? Yes, he's one of my students. So,
and he will never forget that. Yes. That he saw you come down the slide.
Exactly. It's
like, never forget that.
And it's just funny because you're looking going and hi, Mr. Right. Hi, how you doing? Can you forget that you saw me in my bathing suit?
Right. He'll never forget that. And he'll pay attention more.
Yeah.
He'll cooperate a little better because he knows you're a person.
That's what the cool part of that is that, you know, in giving new teachers and teachers have been teaching for a while with some advice, get to know them, figure out what you can do. And like you're talking about going to a golf match. Nobody goes to,
nobody.
Did I really say that? Yeah, they don't get an audience at a golf match. I guess I should say it nicer. And so right. the teacher taking time to go to the golf match, that is a huge deal. And, you know, and taking time out. You know, if you teach younger kids and go into their youth league event or something like that, important stuff. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, I often work with teachers who need some assistance in classroom management. What thoughts do you have for a classroom teacher who's looking for help?
So once you get your relationships, the relationships continue throughout the year. So start forming those. But then the other thing is to establish, I like to call them rituals and routines. That's the way it was explained to me. I think a good teacher is a lot like a talk show host in that way. You know, what happens today on the show might be different, but the show always follows the same format. There's an opening monologue. He sits behind the desk. The first guest comes out. I ask a few questions. They slide down. The band plays some music. The second guest comes out. So that routine, that structure in your classroom, the normalcy of it helps a lot with classroom management. What we do in my class is completely exciting. Kids have no clue what's gonna happen today, but they know I'm going to open up class. Hi, everybody. I'm happy y'all are here. Hopefully you have your materials out, and this is what we're going to do. Then I'm going to turn them loose for a little while. They're going to do some independent work. Then I'm going to explain something. It's sort of a routine. Establish those routines. A good teacher is a lot like a talk show host that way.
Excellent. Excellent advice. And you're right. There's certain things that should, they know what to expect. They know what to do. And especially when you're talking about in a science classroom where you've got, you've probably got some lab that you set up or something like that. You don't have time to mess around with. We got to get to work, man.
And the other thing is, if it can establish a routine for everything, kids need to know, how do I turn in my papers? How do I get papers back? You know, in my room, when they have homework to turn in, they know on your way in the door, you put your homework in the basket by the door. Not because I'm really rigid. I'm not that kind of guy at all. I'm fun and loose or whatever, but it makes it easy not to have people walking around asking, hey, where do I put this again? No, we have a routine that they know how to follow, and then revisit the routines before you have to. Remind them at periodic times throughout the year, hey, just before anybody forgets, when you come in with your homework, you put it in a basket. Or, hey, before anybody forgets, if you need to sharpen your pencil, you can only do that during the times that we have independent work. Establish the way to do each thing and revisit it regularly before you have to.
Excellent advice. I love that. So often those routines, rituals, people don't realize how important they are. Kids are looking for those boundaries and they're looking for, you know, what is it that you want me to do? And if they're not there, they create their own.
You're right.
It's some You're of right. them, some of them, you don't want them to create their own.
No.
All right. So in the beginning, I shared a little bit about you being associated with this program called GIFT at Georgia Tech. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
It transformed my teaching completely. I was about a fourth year teacher teaching science. I was unsatisfied with how my kids were doing. They were doing well, but not as good as I hoped. And I thought to myself, what can I do to like break through? Kids aren't as interested as I want them to be. I have all this excitement and this passion, but they're not as interested as I want to be. So I applied and got accepted to this thing called the GIFT program, the Georgia Intern Fellowship for Teachers program at Georgia Tech. And what they do is they connect STEM teachers with a university researcher for the summer. So I met this lady, she's a biochemist, Dr. Raquel Lieberman at Georgia Tech, and I enter her lab and I'm in awe. I'm like, oh man, how do I fit in here? And I observed for a while and she gave me the chance to try some things. Hey, Casey, why don't you run this experiment? Why don't you do this? And I grew a lot by watching them and by doing. But the thing that made the difference, when I came back to my classroom and I had to explain a concept, it wasn't just the concept anymore. I had a real world connection that made it relevant for my students. I can say, hey, I actually did this experiment this summer. Wow, here it is in the textbook. But now I can finally say, I did this. And this is what it looks like when researchers do it. And this is why they do it. And I can speak from my own personal experience. And the kids value that a lot. You know, if we want them to learn, we have to set an example of what learning looks like and be willing to push ourselves and do things that are outside of the box. That's my way of telling them, hey, I study in the summer so that I can grow, and I need you to study so that you can grow.
That's awesome. I think that's part of what you're talking about earlier, where, you know, kids need to know that we're real, yeah. That we're human, and we don't know everything. And right. Even though they assume we don't because we're adults.
Right. They think we know anyways.
Right. But they do think that there's something going on there. But to see you actually know that you're participating in learning more, doing experiments, finding out things that you could actually bring those to the classroom and use to help engage them. I mean, what a cool thing. And I think that's so important because kids of all ages look for the teacher to be someone who learns.
Yes. And not we need to do that more. Set a better example of what continued learning looks like. If even if you're not a science teacher, if you read books, talk to your kids about the books you're reading. If we want them to read, then we have to read. That's what it's done for me. I appreciate it very much. It changed my teaching.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So before I leave there, is it something that you'll continue in like during summers or?
Yeah, I hope. I've been doing it now for 6 summers and cool. I hope to continue it forever. Not forever, but.
Nice. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but forever. Cause every year there's always more to learn. And that's a good point to make for my students too. That's I'm going back again next summer because there's more to learn. Every new thing you learn exposes you to something else to learn, right?
Yeah.
Every time you figure something out, you realize that, oh, wait a minute, there's another question. I didn't know about crystallography until I knew about proteins. So now I got to go back and learn about crystallography, and they get into that too. They're like, everything I learn, I got to learn something more.
That's awesome.
And just leading by example and showing them what passion looks like.
So very cool. That's exactly that. They get to see that passion not only translates into you teaching, but it translates into you learning.
Yes.
And you're excited about the cool stuff I learned. You know,
yes.
Nice. So what is one thing? Let's talk about you with your students. What's one thing that you hope to accomplish when you work with kids?
The biggest thing I want to do is build intrinsic qualities in them that are going to push them to success. I mean, of course, I want kids to learn science, right? I want them to master the content. That's at the end of the day, that's my job. They have to learn the standards. But I also want to build ambition in them. and build confidence in them and build courage in them. And I don't want to go back to it again, but that's kind of what the GIFT program has done for me. I can tell my students, hey, you can be a scientist because I do it in the summer. And if Mr. Bethel can do it, anybody can do it. And build that confidence in them and that ambition and just get them thinking, hey, I can do this. And what do I want to do? Expose them to things. I've taken my students to tour the lab or to tour colleges, and I tell them, you don't have to be a scientist. I just want you to see what science looks like and think about it. And if you don't choose that, whatever you choose, know that you can do it. And build those types of qualities in them. I want to build well-rounded young people.
Awesome. Just what a wonderful direction to have for working with kids, because that's what you're hoping is that they leave you and they move on and they're focused on learning and doing and whatever their brain is thinking about. So very cool stuff. I recently had a chance to hear you talk. You're engaging and thought-provoking. As Teacher of the Year, you travel around and you do get to deliver messages.
I do.
What message would you like teachers to remember from you and administrators and whoever else is listening to you?
Teachers still have the potential to radically transform the lives of the kids that sit in front of you, and don't take it for granted. Every moment is a moment to say something or do something that can turn the light on, that can turn the spark on in a kid's mind and in a kid's heart. And be intentional about not missing any one of those moments. You never know which one. You could say the same thing to the same kid 10 days in a row, and it could be the 11th time you say it that kid actually believes it. And don't forget that. We still have the chance to just ignite kids' passions. And that's my message, to go out and do that and know that what we're doing is changing the world, and never second guess it. This is the most rewarding profession in all of human history. And we have the privilege to say that we are teachers.
That's so cool, because it is. It's, there's nothing better. I like to tell people there's nothing better than when you're helping a child understand something new.
Right.
And they go, and you see the light bulb go on, and you go, that's cool. It's like, ding.
Yay. Yeah, I forget which one of these movies it was. I think it was an 80s or early 90s movies where Alec Baldwin is explaining to these sales guys, you got to always be closing. A good salesman is always closing the deal. ABC, always be closing. But as a teacher, I think we need to always be building. Every moment, every word, every interaction with a kid is a chance to build up their self-esteem, build up their confidence, build their ambition, build their courage, build their diligence, build all those qualities we want to see in them. Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to propel them to success.
You are so right. You are so right. That is awesome. I like that. In thinking about us focusing on that, I mean, because that means that we know we understand a little bit more about what we do. I think sometimes adults get caught up in thinking that the only thing they do is, they teach their class, content.
Explain information.
Yes, yeah, exactly. It's like, no.
It's one thing I do.
Right, but it's a lot more beyond that. If nothing else, I mean, it's just you're hoping to spark and inspire that thought that goes on inside. It says, ooh, this is cool. Nice. Before we're getting close to finishing here. And before we do that, if a listener would like to reach out to you, what would be the best way?
They can reach out to me on social media. I'm on Facebook. You can find me at Facebook, Georgia Teacher. I'm on Instagram at 2017GATOTY, 2017 Georgia Teacher of the Year. Or on Twitter, same thing, at 2017GATOTY. They can email me at same email, 2017GATOTY@gmail.com. They can call me. My phone number is 404-697-5417. I love talking to people, and especially when we share the same passions and bouncing ideas off of each other. I'm just a regular guy that likes doing what I do.
Excellent. And I'll put that information in the show notes so they'll be linked.
Awesome.
And so forth, where people can come find you. So those of you who are listening while you're driving, you don't have to, cause a backup on 75, all right?
We already have that problem.
We already have that problem, right?
And I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys that gives my number and hopes nobody ever calls, man. I hope you guys call me and tweet me or, inbox me, and let's get the conversation going and the discourse going so that we can both grow.
That's awesome.
And encourage each other.
That there's nothing better than that type of interaction when that happens with one of my When I was a classroom teacher, the last couple of years that I taught, I actually was in a school where we brought up, in a high school where we brought up concepts from middle school. And so ninth and 10th grade were teamed.
Right.
And what was really cool about that is the interactions that you had with colleagues that you normally didn't get to have those right. because you're working with them, you're planning together.
Yeah.
And you found out how much of a nut others are, as not just you. You
know? Right. Just fun people out there, man.
Exactly. So, so cool. So, Let's go this direction now. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
You're the one. You are the chosen one. You, like Neo in The Matrix. You have all the qualities, all the potential to go out there and do all the things that, that got you thinking about this profession. You know, work at your craft. Listen to veterans and read a little bit and study a little bit and, you know, pick up more instructional tools as you go along, but never let your confidence wither. You're the one that we need. We need more teachers. We need the best and brightest people to be teachers. And the more you put into this profession, the more you pour into it, I promise you this profession will reward you. It might take a few years, depending on where you are, but just like we mentioned earlier, a few years down the line, when you see what the students you've taught go on to become, it'll fuel you in a way that other professions, except maybe surgeons who have saved people's lives, right?
Right.
Other professions don't have that. And it's something to appreciate. Go with confidence and change the world.
Love it. I love it. What awesome advice. Because I think sometimes new teachers get a little reserved and afraid of what they're doing. You know, can I really do this? Have I really made the right choice? Am I really getting ready to do this? And instead you need them to kind of go forth. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you did this for a reason. So now make that step.
Remember why you got into it.
Yeah.
You chose this for a reason. And when you step into your classroom, you know, I remember, if I can be transparent a little bit, I remember my first day in a classroom. I came to teaching non-traditionally too. I wasn't a teaching major in school. I said this earlier, I was a science major to kind of switch to teaching, and I did the TAP program. But long story short, my first day in a classroom was my first day in a classroom since high school or college.
Wow.
I didn't student teach and all those things. And I stood up and I had my bulletin boards and all that set up from pre-planning, and the kids walked in and sat down, and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing in here. This, what do I do next? I remember feeling so afraid, like, oh my God, I don't want to mess this up. But then I remembered why I chose it. I was like, man, I chose this to make a difference. As long as you don't forget that, you'll hit the target. Remember why you got into it.
That's awesome. And I think to go with that, to kind of put something that reminds you around so that when on those days that are challenging you, you put something that says, this is why I did this and this is what I'm doing. I it's so important. By the way, I don't remember my first day of teaching, but I remember my first day of teaching in my student teaching,
yeah,
because I was all set. The teacher turned over the classroom to me, and I got all kinds of things ready. And a young man trips over the cord to the projector that was going to show this map that I had, breaks the bulb inside the projector. Boom! The map falls off the wall. When I'm like, oh, this is good. I got a plan B. There's a map on the wall. So I pull down the map. It falls off the wall. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
And there's actually one more thing. This really dates me, because that was still in the day of the movie reels, right?
Oh,
and man. I was showing a segment of this movie to show this river that we were going to be talking about. And this was world history. And I've got this whole thing set up right where I need to start it. I start it and it breaks. You're like, okay, that's good. Now, I just went through plan A, B, C. Now, on to D.
Where do we go?
Exactly. So, you know, just be flexible and all will be good.
And have fun
with it.
Because that's going to happen. That's going to happen to the people that are listening. It's going to happen to new teachers. It happens to old teachers. The only difference between veteran teachers and new teachers, veteran teachers, it's happened before. And it's kind of like a comic. They asked, I forget who it was. They asked one of these comics, they said, what happens when you go on stage and you tell a joke and nobody laughs? And the comic said, nothing. You don't die.
Right.
You know, you still book your next gig. Well, in teaching, that's going to happen. You know, the computer's going to crash and the fire alarm's going to go off and whatever's going to, but you don't, nothing happens. You just start again.
That is so right. You start again, you fall back, and you go, okay, what did I do this time that didn't work? And you try it again, and you go after it. And you know, and that's just it's so very real. I like to tell people that teaching is experiential. You can't teach everything to somebody to make them a good teacher. There are things that they have to learn, and some of it comes from making those mistakes.
A lot of it comes from making those mistakes.
Yes, go on. Wish I hadn't done that.
All right.
But all is good. So let's. The last question I want to ask you is, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Oh, wow. Can I give two?
Oh, most definitely.
My fourth grade teacher was a lady named Miss Spence. And she, I don't know where Miss Spence is, but if she hears this, I love her so much for the investment she made in me to build me up and make me the person I am and make me well-rounded. But a part of it is because she said one of the most challenging things that I've ever heard about myself. She told me in the fourth grade with my mom present, she said, at that point I was doing great. I was the first kid in class to learn my times tables and my spelling words and everything was great. And I think I was puffed up a bit. And she told me, arrogance is not good. Don't be overconfident. And I remember being, I guess I was 9 years old hearing that. You know, I was, oh man, it's the worst thing in the world to hear. But I've taken that with me. And I've remembered since then to always be humble. And it's been a life lesson. You know, this lady was just supposed to teach me math and spelling, but she taught me an important life lesson at 9 years old. So it's her first. And then my high school science teacher, my high school chemistry teacher, Miss Mizik, really got me into loving, it was chemistry at the time, it's biology now, but she got me into loving science, but it was because of her passion for the subject. She was so excited about science, I couldn't help be excited about science. So I want to thank those two people, and really I've tried to pattern myself as a teacher after those two people. Remember I said earlier, my passion becomes, at least I hope, my passion becomes my kids' passions, but that's because that was my experience. And then the other thing I said was I want to build intrinsic qualities in them like ambition and courage because that was my experience. So I need to thank Miss Mizik and Miss Spence. If you're out there, I love you. And I owe a large part of my life to you too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, Casey. I appreciate it. It's amazing the adults that have that influence on us. And you just never know which way
to probably
be.
Doesn't even remember she said that. Right?
Right.
But that's what I meant. Every word. Kids are listening even when you don't know they're listening.
So very true. So very true. Well, Casey, congratulations again on being named the Georgia Teacher of the Year for 2017. Thank you so much for joining me today. I wish you the best as you deliver your message and you talk to people around the state. And look forward to hearing all the great things that you do as a classroom teacher back in the classroom again.
Thank you very much for having me on. And thank you for the great work you're doing. It's impacting thousands of people, and we appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.